It only takes a few minutes driving north of Port-au-Prince before the road opens up into countryside, mountains, and miles of stunning coastline. There are a few beach resorts along the way, the Wahoo, the Calico, the Obama, and the Indigo Beach Resort. It's a sprawling property, lush with acres of flowers and coconut palms. Whitewashed guest villas face an enormous sparkling pool and the electric blue Caribbean beyond.
You look at the beach. It's the good beach. The sea is the beautiful.
Joshua is an artist. He has a small outdoor shop at the Indigo Beach Resort where he sells paintings and hand-woven bracelets to tourists. Before the earthquake, Joshua was a college student. But now, he says, working at a beach resort like this is one of the only steady jobs in Haiti.
So when the tourists is coming in Haiti, so more people make money. More money.
But resort jobs aren't possible for everyone. Most Haitians live nowhere near the beach, but in remote mountain villages instead. Or they live in the crowded capital city of Port-au-Prince, where an estimated two-thirds of the adult population does not have regular employment.
Some of these men haven't worked in 3 months.
That's Patrick Krimmer, construction worker from Flagstaff. And today he's orchestrating the rebuilding of a giant concrete containment wall around the Foyer Renman Orphanage. It crumbled during the earthquake, and since then, there's been no secure barrier between the orphanage and the often dangerous streets of Port-au-Prince. The orphanage has hired armed security guards to patrol the compound.
Well, we want to make sure if there's another earthquake that our wall will stay standing.
Krimmer is one of about a dozen construction workers and contractors from Flagstaff working on the project. They ship their own tools here, since electric drills and saws aren't plentiful in Haiti. And they also hired Haitian workers for the job. 2 weeks of steady employment. Krimmer says word about the job spread so quickly through the neighborhood that he had to devise a colored wristband system so he could tell who had been hired legitimately and who was hoping to squeeze their way onto the payroll.
It was true. As soon as you turned your back and turned back around, a man would have a shovel or he'd be working and you could ask him. And yes, he'd been here since this morning. He wants to work. He wants the opportunity. You get caught up in that emotion.
There is very little industry in Haiti. Nearly 80% of all jobs are in agriculture. Some people find work if they have computer or medical-related skills. It's estimated that nearly 60% of all Haitians live in abject poverty, and more than half are illiterate. That's why 22-year-old Edva Mascari feels lucky to have been hired as a translator for the construction project at the orphanage.
When I was 16 years old, I always said, put you in my mind, you know, I'm a strong man, I can do whatever I want, you know.
Mascari was barely 18 when the earthquake struck. Since he knew a little English, he was immediately hired as a medical translator at a hospital in Port-au-Prince. Now he pieces together odd jobs to get by. He helps take care of children during church on Sundays. He tends bar sometimes. And he takes on occasional translating jobs like this one.
You know, when I get some money and I give my mom some, I take care of my mom's and I just get back to school just to finish my high school.
Allison Hosler is a 17-year-old high school student from Flagstaff. This is her second construction trip to Haiti since the earthquake.
We were pretty much working by ourselves last time, but now we have Haitians here working with us.
Hosler says her friends back home don't understand why she comes to Haiti to do hard work in stifling heat, but she doesn't mind at all. She says it's like the Chinese proverb, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, teach him how to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime.
I think it's great because they get paid for their work here and teaching them skills that they can use to like build other places, like rebuild, because still some places aren't rebuilt even like 3 years after the earthquake.
And since no one's sure when the next project may happen, she's grateful to be part of this one. For Arizona Public Radio, I'm Jillian Ferris-Cole.